BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Hello, welcome to the Adam and Joe podcast. Princess Leia with a voice changer in Jabba the Hutt's palace.
Your Princess Leia?
Yes, I've sneaked in with a voice changer.
Oh, you've got your special voice changer thing.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a cough.
Listen, we're going to have some more of this.
it's not very good for your throat.
Coming up later in the show. More peculiar voices. We'll explain
why. All will become clear later in the programme. First, here's a message. We haven't said hello yet, have we?
No, you start the whole thing again.
No, let's carry on.
Okay, hello, I'm Joe.
Hey, I'm Adam.
Welcome to the Adam and Joe podcast, the highlights of our show on BBC Six Music that goes out live between 9 and you know the rest.
Yeah, all right then. So we're mixing things up, right? I mean, this is kind of a crazy
podcast.
We
haven't done a sung introduction or anything.
No. Most people, if they'd done that kind of intro to anything, they would stop and they would start again.
They'd be fired.
But we are carrying on. Here's a message.
We deserve to be fired.
From Stephen. He's a man in Fukuoka. In Japan. That's a fun place to live, isn't it? Hi, Adam and Joe. After listening to Adam's ongoing fury at the popularity of Joe's Retro Text the Nation jingle, I thought I'd try and offer Adam some useful jingle critique. Here's the deal. Adam, you make excellent jingles, but they always go on a tiny little bit too long.
Yes, yes.
You usually try to fit in one more joke as the jingle fades out, which I feel detracts from the overall quality of the jingle.
Overstuffed.
The classic example of this is the fart noise. At the end of this jingle.
Classic.
That was a great chat. Here comes another. Adam and Joe are rocking the podcast now.
Excuse me.
Basically, I think that if you end your jingles 5 seconds earlier, you can enjoy some Joe-style success.
Yes.
Hope this helps. Stephen.
Oh, Stephen, I agree. I'm not sure that's entirely going to do it. I mean, it's more than that, obviously.
Joe-style success.
That's a start.
Thanks a lot, Stephen! I'm going to make my jingles 5 times as long and cram in more unnecessary unfunny jokes into them, just to spite you in Fukuoka, Japan.
I, on the other hand, am going to go and stay in Fukuoka, Japan with that gentleman, and we will touch each other's areas.
However, he does say he likes the podcast groove jingle. And this week I don't even have a new one. And maybe James can play an old one.
And what's happened to Wee Sticks? Has that finally run its course?
Well, let's deal with that when we come to it halfway through the podcast.
Okay.
But right now, here's the rest of the waffles. Did you order waffles, sir?
I did order waffles.
Here they are!
Yummy.
Hey, you! That's right, you! What the heck do you think you're doing, friend? Sitting and worrying, the world's about to end. When there's a brand new podcast about to start, I'm foreign, hooray! Adam and Joe are here to make things right. Their inconsequential chatter will illuminate your night. Your spirits will be lifted, your problems will be solved. Unless they're really serious, then we just can't get involved. We took the live show and then we chopped it up and put the little pieces in the special podcast cup. Prepare to drink from it, share some with your cat. It's like a great big noodle pot prepared with yummy chat.
Hey, Joe, where you been with that
guitar in your hand?
You've been to the American States.
I've been to Americans, yeah.
Yeah, what was it like?
It was fun. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan is president.
Is he?
And
he used to be a film star.
He did.
What's
he
doing, president?
And I saw
Why have they made him president?
I saw the new film, The Money Pit, with Tom Hanks.
That's the new Steven Spielberg.
Shelley De Winters.
Apparently it's better than E.T.
It's better than E.T. It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's funny.
And all the rage out there are Dealey socks.
Dealey socks.
Yeah, the cat Dealey's made them trendy.
Yeah, you put them on your head and they woggle around.
Yes.
I love that stuff. And everyone eats skateboards. Everybody eats chocolate skateboards.
It's amazing. That's what they do. They go around on chocolate skateboards with licorice wheels.
Yeah.
And then they flip them up in the air and catch them in their mouths and eat them.
And they talk like that. Everybody talks like that.
They talk like that. Why are they twiming them?
No, it was very good fun. Yeah. But I hear the show went alarmingly well without me. Garth did another good job.
We won a Sony.
Did you win a Sony?
They had a special ceremony.
They got a special award. Wow, yeah. That's humiliating.
Chris Evans bust in halfway through the show and said, listen, we've decided to give you this Sony.
Well, that's it for Cornballs.
Yeah, afraid so.
Game
it's
over.
Not looking good.
Oh, yeah, so funny, I forgot to laugh.
Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, and it's Retro Text the Nation time, but instead of the regular jingle, we've got something else from...
That's the nation's favourite jingle.
Well, Craig Atkinson has taken the nation's favourite jingle to the next level. He says, hello there, Buxel Weed and Corn Blaster.
Wow.
Thank you. Please find enclosed my take on the Retro Text the Nation jingle, which I call Retro Text the Nation Concoction. The game here is to identify as many of the songs and or artists that I've used as possible. Hope you like it. Love the show. Bye! It's a lot of E's on there. Thanks, Craig. And he gives us three kisses at the end. One for James, one for Joan, one for myself. Thank you. Here's what he's come up with. I like listen to Adam and Joe. Listen to the podcast. I used to feel
Wowza.
That's amazing, isn't it? Some of the tracks he's used in there is Rough by Lady Gaga. He's got Listen To from Department of Eagles. There's some Bob Marley in there, Beatles.
Listen To by the Department of Eagles?
No, I mean, he's got the words to listen to from classical records by Department of Eagles. He's cheated a couple of times. He wasn't able to find a song that had the word podcast in there.
Yes. There's got to be one somewhere.
Surely someone's written a song about a podcast. Have they not?
There's a gap in the market.
Gap in the market, young, exciting bands. Get in there. Craig Atkinson, thanks so much. What an amazing amount of
work. That was extraordinary and particularly exciting for me as the person who wrote that that jingle. I mean, to have a sort of cut-up tribute to it is really incredible. I mean, it's... Yeah.
I mean, there's been a classical version now, choir version.
Amazing. And it must... I don't know, I'm guessing, but it must make you, Adam, feel awful.
I mean,
really awful.
Yeah, a little bit.
That the tributes to my jingle have really become so, you know, extreme.
Paul McCartney covered it. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable is what it is. So there you go.
So what was last week's Text the Nation
sticking
subject?
It to the man, yo.
Of course.
Do you remember the Cox's Orange Pippin guy? He was ringing through... He was going to the self-checkout at supermarkets.
Satsuma's Clementines.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
He was getting his Jazz Apple or whatever and ringing it through as something cheaper. And we've got a whole bunch of messages from people who are doing similar things to stick it to the man.
So we're not encouraging illegality here.
No, we're not.
No.
Absolutely not. We don't want to see you go to jail. We don't want you to rend asunder the fabric of society in that way. Sorry, I've got some wind built up.
Which way is it going?
It's coming out of the top hole. So that's fine. But here's a message from some... We were talking about the fact that one way to get your own back on the man is to, when you're doing the pay and display parking, if you haven't used your allotted amount of time, go and give the ticket to someone else, mate.
Oh, that's nice.
And then you're like a saint, and you're sticking it to the man at the same time.
Absolutely true.
In your face, man. But here's someone who says, this is from Pete Crow. He says, hi, Buckers and Corny. Really sticking it to the man. I also gift my parking ticket to the next needy parker. But recently at the hospital, the man cottoned on. And now you have to enter your number plate before getting your minimum two-hour ticket. It's getting increasingly more difficult to do any kind of sticking it to the man. Harumph.
This is a very controversial area, having to pay to park in hospital car parks.
I mean, that's double controversy, because not only are they making you pay to park at the hospital, they're getting your number plate so you can't gift your ticket to someone else.
Shocking.
What is that? Goodness sake, that is just staggering, though. I mean, the man needs to be kicked right in the julies for that. Have you got one there?
I have got one. This is from Callie, a lady from Brighton. Hey, guys, spelt H-A-I. Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time writer in.
Hi, guys.
Bus fares are crazy expensive, so I like to stick it to the man by getting my kid on the bus for free. My son is a little smaller than most, so he passes for being under the required age for paying. Is this wrong? I always feel a little quiver whenever the bus driver takes a look at him, but they haven't called me on it yet. When we saunter on and find some seats, I smile to myself and feel like I've conquered the system.
And you don't get busted, though? Because, like, surely sometime someone is going to say, how old are you, Sonny Jim?
I remember that happening quite a lot as a kid, my mum getting us in on child prices even when we were a bit too old.
Would she coach you to give a fallacious answer?
Maybe.
Because I tried to do that with Natty.
Do you?
When
we
were in, it didn't work.
What, he didn't want
to
lie?
I'm glad to say that he couldn't lie. He hasn't got the proper equipment for lying at that stage. So, you know, they had to be, I think it was 7 or something to do this ride. And she said, and I said, say you're 7, Natty, if she asks. How old are you, Stan? I'm 6, 7. He couldn't quite do it.
Good for him.
But yeah, it didn't work. Here's one right now from Grant Solo. He's Han Solo's cousin, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Hi, Captain Buckaroo and the corn-faced kid. Here's a little sneaky thing I used to do to get one over on a certain UK supermarket. I noticed that tins of sardines look almost identical to the tins of mackerel, but the mackerel is 20p cheaper, and my family and I much prefer mackerel. So, I would cunningly choose 1 tin of sardines and 4 tins of mackerel, and then, on the conveyor belt, I would cunningly pile the 4 tins of mackerel on top of the other, one on top of the other, and put the sardines on top.
Yes, so she counts them visually, puts into the till 4 times,
yeah.
Doesn't scan each individual one, is that right?
Exactly. The cashier would invariably scan the sardines on top of the pile, assuming the whole pile was sardines, and charge me for 5 tins of sardines, thereby saving me 80 pence.
Brilliant.
And the best thing was that it wasn't my mistake, it was the cashier's. But it backfired once or twice when I'd chosen sardines and they charged me at the mackerel rate. Damn them!
So criminal, no a criminal. He's a criminal.
That's Grant
and Solo. He must be arrested. Here's one from Louche in Peterborough. It says, it's entitled, Blockbuster Cup. Hi, guys. I occasionally take... What?
You're doing my thing reading out there. Those are the messages to myself. I passed you that one. It's cool. Carry
on. Okay. I occasionally take my small person to the video shop to rent a DVD or two. Let's call the shop Bust Blocker.
There we go.
Uh-oh. They sell a pick-and-mix cup that you're allowed to fill as much as humanly possible, as long as the lid still goes on for a fixed price. Well, I found a chink in the armour of this offer. A full centimetre of height is lost at the bottom of the cup through structural integrity, so I cut the bottom out of a cup and lowered it and restuck it with tape, see enclosed photo. I hid this in my bag and then I pull it out when needed. I now have room for at least 4 more mini eggs or a couple of teeth and gums. Yes, that's right. In your face, bus blocker. Swivel on my... Ooh, that doesn't sound a bit rude. You sort of... You've made this a real minefield for me. Are you purposely trying to stymie my reading by putting naughty things in that I have to get past?
I was happy with that.
I make sure I get the last sweets in the cup, eating them while thinking of the top brass in head office who are wondering why sweetie stocks don't match up to sales. I tell you something I do.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in a cinema and they just give you a cup and you have to pour your own drink,
yeah,
I fill it up and then I take a few swigs. And then I pop it under and I top it up. Those are the tastiest swigs.
Well, this is what we were talking about last week with
the criminal swigs.
It's the lady who wanders around helping herself to the deli stuff. You know, you get a deli counter and the... Is it a deli counter?
You just have little tasters.
It's a sort of buffet counter and you help yourself and spoon it into little plastic tubs. And she's going around there filling up the tubs.
Who is this lady?
A little chomp. And she's chomping away right around. And then she doesn't buy anything. She wanders off. It's just free
food. She's just having little tasters.
Yeah, it's my mum.
Is it?
Yeah. It's my mum wandering around.
Falling on hard times.
It's not really my mum. Sorry, mum.
Sting.
Oh, got stung by a bee.
Did you? How awful.
This week.
How awful.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, I felt that slightly I had it coming to me because...
Right. Did you provoke the bee?
Yeah.
What did you do?
I went out. I was doing... You know, I do this thing online on my YouTube channel. Actually, no, it's on the BBC comedy channel called Countryman.
Yeah,
and I dress up in like a top hat and I talk like this and I walk around the countryside.
It's funny. I like it a lot. People should check it out.
I make a lot of observations about the country. And so I was going to do one about bees and how much I hate bees. Because I'll never ever forgive the bees for what they did to Macaulay Culkin in My Girl. And so...
They killed him.
They
killed him.
Totally unexpectedly.
And just after he'd had his first kiss with... what's her face? Anna Paquin or someone.
Yeah.
It's not Anna Paquin.
Lovely
is it?
Lady
someone
fingers,
else.
Yeah. And what are they, nine in that film or something?
They're too young to be killed by bees, that's for sure.
In a family movie, you know what I mean?
But it's important, it's instructional.
Sure it is, yeah, it teaches you about death, but...
I think it's very stereotypical.
There should be a warning at the front, shouldn't there? Like at the beginning of that film. And now the family film, My Girl, starring Macaulay Culkin. Warning, he gets killed by bees halfway through! It's dramatic!
It's important for kids to understand mortality. There's that film, Bridge to Terabithia, as well, that's a real stomach punch.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to give away the ending to that.
No, you'll never guess what happens in that. But so I went out, and I was dressed in my top hat and stuff and my stupid clothes, and I film all these bits on my own, right? So I had my tripod set up, and I found a nest of bees in this old abandoned house. They were going nuts. Lovely sunny day. I thought, brilliant, perfect bees to do my filming with. So I set up my tripod, start filming them, right? And I'm zooming in. And I'm a few feet away. And I got my telephoto lens on there to avoid any trouble. So I zoom in on them. And then I start doing some clowning around and jumping around in front of the camera. And they start buzzing around me. So I keep my distance again and I move away. But then they started coming after me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know they did that. I mean,
they don't usually do it. It's only when particular comedians are doing particular routines.
They get
annoyed.
He's doing country, man. Let's get him. I mean, it was really frightening. And I thought it only happened in cartoons and stuff where people are running away from swarms.
They were chasing me,
like in a cartoon.
What a shame you didn't have a cameraman there to follow it.
Well, exactly. I mean, I've got the audio. I should have bring in the audio of me screaming. Actually, I can't play
it.
Where
did you get bitten?
They went for my face.
Of course they went for your face.
And they rummaged in there and they bit me on the eyebrow.
Right.
Right, they stung the heck out of me.
On the eyebrow.
Yeah.
It's probably a good time to have a beard, you know, because that's half your face out
that's true.
Of action.
Yeah.
Unless one of them gets tangled.
Unless one of them gets tangled.
Multiple stings.
Exactly. It was so freaky and they kept coming for me. And, you know, I'd be thinking, oh, I've lost them. I was hiding. I had to run away from the camera and just leave it there for a while. I think I've lost them. And then I'd hear, get away from me!
Terrifying.
It kept coming. And after the initial sting, which wasn't too bad, I mean, it's not the end of the world, but it's a shock, you know, and the pain just keeps in there. It's quite a dull pain.
How boring? What dull, like boring?
Yeah, it's boring pain. No, you know, and it sticks with you like it was painful for a day or something.
Yeah.
Not agonizing.
Bees die when they sting you, don't they?
Good.
Yeah. I mean, so it's kamikaze. They mean it.
Yeah.
They hate you so much
because
they're prepared to give their
life.
They're
coming back, aren't they? The community, the bee community.
Oh, after being...
Yeah, they were in trouble for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I think they discovered what that was, didn't they?
Yeah. Shingles.
I don't know what it was. It's pesticide or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, what a story.
Thanks.
It's gone down. You look all right. There's still a tiny bit of a lumpy bumpies.
Yeah, it's just my face. Hate bees.
Adam and Joe. Naughty. Ooh. My nipples.
Now, we encouraged people to send us in eggcorns a long time ago, and then we sort of stopped doing it for a while. They just dried up, the eggcorns. But here's a couple that trickled through that amused me. Here's one from Jonathan Hughes. He says, hi guys, your mentions of egg corns, because we did mention it a couple of weeks back, reminded me of a work colleague's superb comment a few months ago. Three of us were in a meeting and towards the end, the third left the room. I suddenly realised there was something else I needed to remind her, so called for her to come back, but the door had closed behind her and she didn't hear me. This prompted my colleague to say, talk about the pot trying to call the kettle back. I had to excuse myself and go to the toilet to laugh. From Jonathan Hughes there. That's a good one, isn't it?
Wow.
He's got through his whole life.
The pot calling the kettle back.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they tend to separate a lot.
Exactly. I mean, how... He presumably has never had a chance to use that particular expression before in his life.
It's funny, isn't it? You just don't think that through.
No.
That's the same with me when I mispronounce names or words that I've read but never actually... Properly read. Skim read my whole life.
Yes, exactly. I know, I do that all the time. I mean, everyone does. You mispronounce things catastrophically.
What was the one? The one I used the other day was hirsute.
Hirsute.
Yeah, so that's genuinely a word I've read.
Right.
And read in my head and said in my head
popped
wrongly.
An extra T in there.
Yeah, for I think my entire life.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I thought that you
Because
just...
I've never said it out loud. I don't think I've ever said it out loud before.
Hirsute.
Hirsute. I thought it was like astute.
I thought it was a slip of the tongue when you said it.
I thought it was like a hairy suit.
Here's another one from Andy McAleer. He's a mailman. He says, "Dear Dr. Buckles and Dr. Sexy, thank you."
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm. "Wanted to pass on a couple of eggcorns. My wife, growing up, believed that the bits at the top of her arms were called her soldiers. And that in December, she'd get a visit from Farmer Christmas.
No.
Her parents believed..." She was only a child at this point. Okay. "Her parents thought that this was cute, and they didn't correct her until it became embarrassingly obvious when she reached school age. Also, we had a message from a customer service person recently that may have been rubbish spelling, but it struck me as being an eggcorn. She referred to making a gesture of goodwill, which conjured up
laugh.
Images of clowns doing nice deeds for people."
I like soldiers.
Yeah.
Pop it over your soldier.
Yeah. Put the scarf on your soldiers. There you go. The soldiers like it. That's a gesture of goodwill. Oh, look at that. It's just a gesture of goodwill.
THEADAM, absent JOE, BODCAST. That's the podcast groove, baby. You're grooving on it. Are you grooving?
Yes.
THEADAM, absent JOE, PODCAST. That's the podcast groove, baby.
Do you mind me calling you baby?
No.
Would you like being treated like a baby?
Yeah, no.
Have you done the stinky?
Yeah.
I've just been to America, right?
Yes.
It's very exciting. Place full of Americans.
Hey, buddy, you got a pistol?
That's exactly what was happening there. I was there to work, of course. Sure. No frivolity or fun. I was there working with Mr. Edgar Wright. We started at 8:30 every morning.
Sure you did.
We did. Finish. We finished at about 8 in the evening. We had an hour off for lunch.
Yeah.
But I did get Sunday off. I had one day off.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to make the most of my day off. I went to Six Flags Magic Mountain.
Hey.
The roller coaster park.
Sure.
Do you like roller... You like roller coasters,
love
don't you, Adam Buxton?
The coasters and the rollers.
When was the last time you went to a rolling coasting park?
Well, when we were at Disneyland over Christmas.
Now, I wouldn't call Disneyland a hardcore roller coaster park. It's more of a theme park.
Yeah, but they've got like a special add-on area
nothing.
Now that's got some roller coasters on.
Do
yeah,
they?
Yeah.
Do they? I mean, Disneyland is wonderful.
The American Adventure, I think it's called.
But in terms of hardcore coasting, Six Flags Magic Mountain is the place.
Mm-hmm.
It's the theme park that featured in National Lampoon's Vacation.
Did it?
It was renamed Wally World.
That's right.
That's very exciting. I love that film.
Yeah.
It was also featured in the film Roller Coaster.
Sure.
Where the man puts the bomb on
with
the roller coaster.
Timothy Bottoms. There's a performance from Sparks in that film.
Is there?
As well, yeah.
They play at the opening of the roller coaster.
Playing Beat Boy from their now deleted album.
At the climax
album,
of the film.
Big Beat.
Is that?
Yeah, sometime around the climax.
I think that's made in about 78 or something, Roller Coaster. It was made just after the roller coaster called Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, 77 it would have been, was opened there. Anyway, we went roller coaster crazy.
Sure.
It wasn't too busy, so we didn't have to queue that much, and it has the most incredible lineup of hardcore coasters.
Is it still... Because it used to be, like, the king. It had Colossus there, didn't they?
Sure, they got Colossus.
And but that's not the biggest one still.
Oh, no. So the first thing we did, we paid our money. We drove there, we paid our money. First of all, we went on Ninja,
mm-hmm.
built in 1988. 55 miles per hour maximum speed. It's a suspended steel roller coaster. The ride lasts 1 minute and 30 seconds. It was excellent. An excellent préparatif.
55 miles an hour.
55 mph max speed. I know, but it was good to get us in there.
I could run faster.
It was good to break us in.
Yeah.
Okay, it was exhilarating. Woo! Woo!
Yeah.
Like that. Just,
I love you, Edgar!
Just the screaming. Edgar didn't come.
Did he not?
It was Oscar, his brother, and my lady friend.
Love you, Oscar!
I was screaming. It's just fun. It's like screaming therapy.
Yeah.
You can shout very loudly. You can also say naughty words very loudly. No one cares. Terrific fun. So after Ninja, we went straight to Apocalypse, 2009. It used to be a Terminator 3 themed ride,
right.
But that film didn't go very well. So they've taken the theming away and renamed it.
Yeah, because the end of Terminator 3, everyone just dies, don't they?
Yeah. It's a very good contemporary wooden roller coaster. 50 mph top speed.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Very rattly.
Mm.
Very shaky.
You like the rattly ones. Do you remember that one we went on in Blackpool?
Yes.
Years ago, and it was so rattly. I went on there with... It was the last roller coaster my wife ever went on with me.
Really?
And it put her off forever because it just... It seems like you're
going
to...
Well, this is where my story's going.
Right.
I rode a ride. I rode a road.
You done a road ride.
That was too much for me.
Really?
This has never happened before.
Whoa, too much for cornballs.
It made me fall out of love with the coasters. So anyway, after Apocalypse, we went on Colossus, built in 1978. Massive old twin wooden roller coaster. Very, very good. 2.5 minute ride, 100-foot drops, 62 mph top speed.
A bit better.
Beautiful rumble and sway.
Mm.
Mm, that's what we look for on a wooden coaster, the rumble and the sway.
The
Then straight to Tatsu, built in 2006. That's a face-down suspended roller coaster that simulates flying like a super ponce.
Face-down, I like it. And you can stretch your arms out like Superman?
You stretch
Superman?
Your arms out as if Superman was flying strapped to a seat.
Yes.
That's what you look like.
They got some of those at Alton, don't
There's it? A problem with it, though.
What?
Well, when you finish the ride, you're strapped into this chair looking downwards. And you know how you stop before you get to the train station?
Yes.
To wait for the other one to leave?
Right.
Well, we stopped and you're facing down, the floor's about a metre away from your face. You're stopping in a place where every single car has stopped, you know, 50,000 times a day for the last 10 years.
Right, so you're looking at all the poos and wheeze on the track.
Yeah, there's a spittle vomit puddle directly under your face. And and the spittle has mixed with the vomit and it's sort of burned through the paint like alien blood.
Alien blood.
And you sit there just looking at it for about 4 minutes before you're ready to you know, get into the station. That slightly took the edge off it. Mm. So that was Tatsu. Then we went on Goliath, built in 2000. It's a conventional steel roller coaster, maximum speed 85 mph. 3 minute ride. Plummets towards a narrow concrete hull.
85 mph?
Mm-hmm.
That's quite fast.
Plummets towards narrow concrete hull.
Narrow concrete hull?
I'm a tall man. I hate that.
Yeah.
It's literally terrifying. Do you know that? And you think your head's going to be taken, basically decapitated.
Right.
Because as you rush towards this little hole, it looks much smaller than it really is.
You plummet downwards to a hole. What happens in the hole?
The train just goes through the hole, down through the hole.
Oh, you don't stop for cakes.
No, you don't stop for cakes.
Hello, everyone. Anyone want a cake in the hole? Bye.
Then we went on Viper, built in 1990. Seven loops, 188 feet high.
Where's the one that freaked you out?
So you're getting bored.
Is that coming soon? No, I'm not, but I'm
okay,
just...
Okay, it was wicked. Viper was wicked.
How fast does Viper go?
A Viper goes at 70 mph.
Oh. Pathetic.
But here's the one that freaked me out. The X2, built in 2008. The world's first fourth dimension roller coaster. And here's the thing.
It travels through time.
Well, kind of, I wish. It's like the cars are on a pivot.
Yeah.
And then each bucket seat you sit on actually rotates round and round.
Oh.
So you're rotating 360 degrees while you go on this amazing, gut-wrenching, horrible roller coaster. And if you look at it from a distance, it looks like Arabic writing. It's crazy.
Right.
And then you're spinning round as you go round it. And it was too much for Cornballs.
Did you vomit?
I didn't vomit. But the thing I did was when he put the shoulder straps down on me, I was breathing in and he really pushed them down quite hard.
Right.
And it constricted my chest and I felt a little snap.
Oh.
I thought a little thing went sort of...
He's busting my rib.
It felt like I thought, it just bust. Whoa! And then the thing started. I couldn't take a breath and it started.
Yeah.
And I just felt it was like an awful torture. And every time it went round, and there was quite a strong centrifugal force, I thought, my rib's breaking. No! It was horrible. I closed my eyes and I just prayed for it to be over for 2 minutes. It was terrible. And when I got off, I felt really bad in the ribs two or three days later.
For Cornballs and roller coasters?
It just wasn't pleasant.
Right.
On any level. It wasn't enjoyable. It was horrible. It's like a terrible torture.
The other thing is, you reach a certain age.
I know, that's what I thought.
And it doesn't make any sense anymore.
I thought my bones can't take it anymore.
Yeah, because the last time I went on quite a violent one, my neck, I got a crick in my neck like nobody's business.
Did you?
Afterwards, I thought, I've done myself a proper injury.
But you can go on YouTube, and people take point of view films from the front carriage of these things. So if you're curious, check out a film of X2 at Magic Mountain. It's mortifying.
Right.
Terrifying.
Gonna have a look at
that. It's one pivot too many.
Yeah.
Cornball says no.
Cornball says no. That's enough.
That is enough.
There's enough fun. Wow.
Traveling tales, tales of traveling on the train, or an automobile, or an aeroplane. I want to know what your traveling tales.
All aboard the Skylark!
We're going to concentrate on conductors, attendants, announcers, whatever you want to call them, on trains and other modes of transport. Actually, it's mainly trains this week. A few messages from people reminding us that one very celebrated and successful train driver was Red Pepper, the man, the voice of the trailers, who does all the, you know, coming up, Men in Black 2.
That was a good trailer, wasn't
he's
it?
Famous, yeah. That's why he's Red Pepper and you're Adam Buxton.
Coming up, Men in Black 2. No, thanks. We won't need you, Mr. Buxton. Sure, I can do it. I can do another one.
Coming up later, Men in Black 2.
We used to do that when we were teenagers.
Right.
Didn't we?
Yeah, it's fun.
Try and do the butchest voice you possibly can. Coming up later, Men in Black 2.
It's horrible.
That's like a frog vomiting on himself.
Coming up later.
You sit down in the cinema and you get this.
From the producer of the Caribbean, the new film,
That's good. That's macho. That's tough.
Like Yoda with a cold taking a poo.
People are like,
poo.
Ooh, what's this film? It's very serious.
Yoda with a cold taking a poo likes it. It's got to be good.
From the people of butter.
I get more work than Red Pepper.
Red Pooper. That's good, man.
Thanks.
Wow, Yoda with a cold taking a poo. He's got to come back.
Forever.
It seems pointless to continue, but we are going to. Now, here's a message, though, from Scott Worsfold. He's from Maidenhead, a longtime Slack Squadron member. They're actually called Podcats now. We've decided that the people...
Really? Yeah. Did that happen while I was away?
Yeah, that was a decision we
what
made.
What does that mean, Podcats?
Someone complained about being called Slack Squadron if they were just podcast only, because it's very demeaning. Yeah. So we decided that we'd go with Podcats.
Nice. So they have a little bit of cool.
Yeah.
Whilst being sort of not
jazzy.
Quite as good. Jazzy.
Jazzy, but a little bit crap.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. He says... yeah, all right. Whatever you're thinking.
I like the idea of a jazz soloist who's a little bit crap.
There's so many of them.
Yeah. Anyway, let's push on.
Okay. Further to your Travelling Tales mini section... on amusing train drivers and conductors. A mention should surely go to the relentlessly cheerful Irish lady tube driver who works the Bakerloo line in London some mornings. She always comes on the tannoy herself to update passengers, telling us, "We have a lovely tube service on all lines." When pulling into a stop, she very politely tells us, "You all did very well there, letting people on. Thank you and well done," which raises a chuckle around the carriage every time. Mm. Recently, she went into a good-natured rant about the lifts at the station, adding, "Oh, they only put them in a few years ago. You wouldn't believe they've taken them out again now." And on Tuesday, I heard her do a weekend radio show-style birthday shout-out to a passenger that she had been told would be on the line that morning. She always brightens up my rubbish tube journeys into work. And Scott has managed to... record her in action. Here she
fantastic.
Is.
Fantastic.
The train is quite crowded, so if there's anyone standing near doors, if you wouldn't mind just stepping onto the platform to let the other customers exit the train, I'd appreciate it. And I guarantee you'll get back on this train because I'll be keeping a strong eye on you. Right. Reaching the platform. Staying clear of the doors, please mind the closing doors. That was wonderful. Thank you very much.
That's nice, isn't it?
You're great. Thanks a lot. You saved a few seconds there, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Right, our next station is Oxford Circus.
Come on, we're all part of a team on this
yes,
train.
Yes, she's giving the whole experience a personality. She's humanising it.
Exactly.
And that's very important.
Sometimes you don't want a personality from the conductor.
Would you think that kind of thing annoys some people? I can imagine some people being quite annoyed if they're trying to read a book or something.
Not from her. You'd have to be very crusty
and curmudgeonly.
Not from
her, but there'd be some people. I'm sure there's always some people, aren't there?
There's always one, isn't there? And a few weeks ago, we played that SNCF jingle, the platform announcement
very
jingle
beautiful.
That you get in France. Let's have a quick reminder of that one. We played a bit of techno that someone had created
something
around.
Something very
that.
Sexy about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the way that...
yeah. Something very unsexy about that.
I can't do the Yoda voice. But yeah, you know, French ladies singing, that is a sexy
well,
thing.
Well, it's the fact that it's a sort of, it sounds like a lady robot, and there's nothing more exciting than a lady robot.
Except a French lady robot.
A French lady robot.
Yeah, Vanessa Paradis is
what's
a
robot. What's French for robot?
A robot.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Thanks, that's answered the question. What next?
Well, I thought that I would try and come up with something equally sexy, like a British version of a platform announcement, because we don't really have any jingles. It's really bing, bing, bong.
Well, they used to have, when it was British Rail, it would go, burr, burr, this is the age of the train.
Did it really?
Yeah. Do you remember on those adverts? And you very much associated those, burr, burr. Oh, I didn't do it so well that time. But yeah, there used to be a sort of two-note thing.
Mm.
But of course, when the British Rail was broken up, there's no unity anymore. Well, you can't. Yeah, sorry. I forgot what I was saying.
Well, here's what I've come up with. I think it would be a good one if anyone from the train companies is listening. Here's one from one of your customers. Enjoy this.
Hey, have a word.
Yeah? And then they do the announcement.
That's good. Work. That's very eye-catching, ear-catching.
Ear-catching.
Yeah, let's hear it again, please.
Hey, have a word.
It's a bit coarse.
Yeah, but it's British.
That's true. It's a coarse place.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's a little bit coarse.
Horses for courses. That's good stuff. Well done.
Thank you very much.
I wonder whether any train companies will adopt that.
Hey, have a word.
Text the nation. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Yeah, so Text the Nation this week, and I've had this bubbling around my brainium for a while now. I like to call it time murder.
Right? Yes.
Because it's times when you are killing time, but you're not only killing it, you are absolutely...
And that makes it exciting, because murder and killing are exciting.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. Obviously, it's not fun.
When they're in a fictional environment.
Yeah. I'd done a murder because I was listening to Adam and Joe. They said it was fun and exciting, so I had to go out and do it.
No. Wrong.
Done
wrong,
a murder.
Wrong.
So that's not what we want to hear.
Fictional world. Fictional
right?
world. Pretending land.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So don't literally murder the time. We got out of that one, man. It's fine. So here's a message that someone sent in a while back. Will in London. He's a male man. He says, I was just about to go to sleep last night when I had an irresistible urge to pick up my popular brand of smartphone. I'd already checked my emails and all the newspaper apps and my Facebook page, but I still had an urge to check something. So I checked how the tubes were running, even though I was going to bed. I thought my wife was asleep, but she saw me. I was holding the smartphone next to my face.
Why would you check how the tubes were running? Just for peace of mind?
No, just to do something on his flipping phone before he went to bed.
See, I've got to do one more thing on my smartphone and I can go to sleep. Oh, I've done everything I need to do. Oh, no, I'll check the tubes running.
I do the same thing sometimes with the weather.
That's Rumpelstiltskin.
Yes, exactly.
Checking the tubes.
Ah, the weather! Dad, the tubes are running normally. Wait a second, there's a bad service on the Vicaloo line, but it's okay because there's a nice Irish lady there.
Pathetically, he says, I was illuminating my face with the smartphone next. Gone out of it, mate. It's fine. With a tiny blue glow, my finger moving slowly down to make sure I looked at all the tube lines. My wife asked what I could possibly be up to so late at night. I wouldn't say. So she grabbed the phone off me and then laughed out loud at how pathetic I was. However, when I argued that she was just as bad, because she's a big Facebook addict, she conceded that sometimes at work she sits in front of Google wondering what to put in. She's already put in all our friends' names, so she started putting in things like the weather in Birmingham. We live in London and don't regularly visit Birmingham. I think for Texanation, you should do ways to pass the time that you are least proud of. Other smartphones and websites are available.
The Google thing is true. I mean, this is a slightly different thing, but it's the equivalent of watching telly and having scrolled through all the channels and you've found nothing. So you go back up the top in case something's changed, and it takes you a while to actually sort of register the fact that there's nothing on and you should go and do something else. The internet equivalent is just staring at a blank Google screen and thinking, what shall I put in the box?
I could go anywhere I want.
Because you get this sort of dazzling, amazing, limitless pool of information. But where do you start?
I'll start with Joseph Cornish. Ding, ding, ding. That's generally what you do, isn't it?
No. It's Joe Cornish.
Okay. I mean, we did procrastination a while back on the show. There's a little bit of a crossover here.
Well, that's work avoidance, specifically.
But here's some things I do, and I just don't feel good about them. I mean, I read a lot of YouTube comments. I guess you could say that's partly a work thing, because I sometimes read them out when I do bug. But, boy, I read loads, and I just read them for fun a lot of the time. And I don't feel that I can in any way justify that, I don't think.
Waste of time.
It's a total waste of time. I mean, I've talked about this before on the show, but I go through all my songs on iTunes and I capitalize them all. Make sure they're all in caps.
Why?
I mean, that's slightly OCD because I think it looks nicer.
Right.
But it takes ages. Absolutely ages. What I do is I create nice labels for box files in my study. I don't like the labels that they come with. I think they're ugly. So I design labels. I print them out with fun lettering and stuff for my accounts or whatever. I'll print them out in different colors so they look nice on the shelf.
You got a lot of time on your hands,
well,
mate.
Well, I don't. That's the thing. But this is what I'm saying. I don't feel good about it. I got into a jag a couple of weeks back of spraying things gold. I went and got some gold paint. I was in the hardware shop and I thought, hey, gold paint.
Makes them look more valuable.
Exactly. So I started...
Makes things look classy, mate.
Yeah, I know.
You should do the whole house, mate.
Well, I wanted to, mate, but my wife wrestled the can out of my hand.
What's she thinking?
Smacked me on the head with it.
What sensible woman wouldn't want a solid gold house?
Exactly. Look, darling, we can have gold lamps by the... What are you doing? Give it back. Give my spray gold back. Gold spray back. And look, darling, the children can finally have...
What's the film where someone paints everything white in a film? Oh, it's this boy's life, isn't it? Mm. No one else would care about that apart from me.
Anyway, so there you go. Time murder.
Yeah, send your contributions to That Text the Nation, subject Adam and Joe, .6music@bbc.cotton.uk.
Oh, mate, I'm going to fly to England to find Adam and Joe. They are my favourite pair of Brits. I love their super podcast and the accents that they die. My plan is to get drunk with them and punch them in the tits.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music on Saturday morning. We were talking about the famous voiceover artist Red Pepper just now.
And we're very excited to say that he happened to be listening to the show and he's phoned us up. Hey, Red, how you doing?
How you doing, boys?
Wow, listen to that.
Are you doing... Is that a specially low voice you're putting on there?
No, it's my voice. This is my morning voice. And it's my daytime voice and it's my evening voice. I'm one of these guys who just talk like that all the time, unfortunately.
Flipping so, Dr. Pepper, you are the most famous voiceover man in the country, I would say. Would you agree with that?
Dr. Pepper loved that one.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know about the most famous.
I do.
My voice is recognized all over the place for obvious reasons, but there's lots of other guys do what I do.
Do trends in voiceovers change for the trailers? Like, will your amazing sonorous tones ever be outdated, do you think? Like, are they shifting to a sort of more conversational delivery?
It's one of those things where if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And if you think down the decades, the male masculine voice, so to speak, has always been an attraction for some reason. I'm not sure why, but it has been. And if you think back, Don LaFontaine, and before him, there were many others who had that masculine sound, and everybody seems to go for it.
Because it vibrates things.
Well, in the theater, especially in the cinema, you hear that through the THX system, and it's like, wow.
Yeah, everybody loves to be vibrated.
In their seats, certainly
yes.
They do.
But listen, Red, would you be threatened if somebody came on the game who had a deeper and sexier voice than you? I'm talking about me.
I think what we should
do... Hey, let Dr. Pepper answer the question. Right. Would you feel threatened by that?
Hell yeah. I'm
Can I have a...
I'll tell you what. Let's have a voiceover off. And I'll match you.
Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to say you're listening to Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, and we're going to see how low we can go. Dr. Pepper starts... Cornballs goes second, Count Buckley's goes third.
Okay, and then listen.
And we just keep going round and let's see who can get the most bassy.
Okay, and then after that, can we do some Taffin trailers?
Yeah,
sure. Okay, so Dr. Pepper, you start first. Are you cool with what you're saying?
Yeah, my name's Red Pepper, not Dr. Pepper. Get out of here.
Okay, no, I'll start. Okay, here we go.
You're listening to Edmund.
So that's very butch and low. Yeah, now you do one.
Oh, is that Butch and Love?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I got you. You're listening to Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music.
Now go lower. I thought that was a little girl.
That's just radio style. That's not for movies.
Go
that's
lower,
radio
Adam.
Style.
Go lower. Go lower.
Okay, I'm going to go way lower than that. Go.
You're listening to Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music.
That sounds like one of the droids from...
can you go...
sounds like you're talking like that.
Can you go even lower than that, Red?
How low can you go?
Okay, let's do some Taffin trailers.
Crazy guy.
Coming up next, Pierce Brosnan is a naughty man in Taffin.
I can't understand it.
Now listen, Adam, what you fail to realise is Red Pepper, he won't understand what that is. He doesn't understand what Taffin is.
Maybe Red did the original...
I didn't hear what he said.
It's an amazing film with Pierce Brosnan, and the climax of the film features an immortal bit of line reading from Pierce that goes something like this.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
It's one of the greatest films ever made, and I would really appreciate it if you could do a little Taffin trailer there. And the film is called Taffin, starring Pierce Brosnan. Can you do that, Red?
Pierce Brosnan in Taffin, out now. I'm not sure if that was cool, but Taffin, I've never heard of that one.
That was very cool. You know sales of Taffin are going to rocket after that.
Surely.
Hey, Red Pepper, thank you so much for joining us. You remain the king, obviously. Our pathetic attempts at being lower than you are futile.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. But thank you very much for joining us.
No worries. Great show, guys. I really enjoy your show.
Hey, we're flattered you listen.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great weekend. Cheers, Red.
Yeah, thank you, and you guys.
For Pierce Brosnan, the role of Mark Taffin is unlike any other he has portrayed. Brosnan is riveting as the hired enforcer, a complex character who by equal turns is both good and evil.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Pierce Brosnan is Taffin.
It's time for Song Wars, the war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test, so check it out.
And the prongs in question, of course, that created the songs are myself and Garth, because Joe was away last week. And the theme for Song Wars was toys and games. Did you get to hear the songs at all, Joe? You were probably away, weren't you?
I didn't, no. I tried to listen to them in America's, but it said not available in your area.
Ah.
Wouldn't let me listen, mate.
Oh, mate. Also, they haven't got internet out there, do they?
They don't have the internet, so there's no way I could have downloaded the podcast and listened to both. Hello, Garth.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm very well. How are you doing there?
I'm doing good, thanks. You thanks for doing such a great job of sitting in last week.
You don't know, you haven't heard it. It could have been a disaster.
Friends of mine have heard it and they say it was excellent.
Oh, that's good. Thanks, Joe. It was a pleasure.
Now, Garth, we have obviously got no clue how the voting went. That was concealed from us throughout the week.
I just say that the boys are sitting in the kitchen hoping that you've won because they just want to hear Poo Poo Party again.
Well, my song, just to remind you listeners, was called Party Pom Pom.
Oh, sorry, Party Pom Pom.
That's all right. Poo Poo Party is accurate as well.
What a pathetic thing to have an argument about.
It wasn't an argument.
Well, please, can you make it one?
Yeah. It was called Party Pom Pom, not Poo Poo Party. Who would call their song Poo Poo Party? How very insulting and rude! That would be nonsense to call your song Poo Poo Party. Garth, what was your song called?
Twister.
Twister.
Like it.
And Twister. It wasn't about hurricanes, it was about the game.
It was about the game.
So, gentlemen, I've got the envelope here. It's okay. Got a beautiful drawing of the big British castle on it. Are you ready for me to read the results?
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Okay.
This is exciting.
Song Wars result. Adam's Party Pom Pom and Garth's Twister. The winner is Adam's Party Pom Pom with 64%.
On.
Garth's Twister got 36%.
Oh.
Garth, listen. It doesn't necessarily mean yours was the less good song.
Well, listen to that.
Children are crying now in the
booing.
Background.
Is that booing or cheering?
Yeah, well, they're thrilled because they liked the
they're
Party
thrilled.
Pom-pom song.
They've got very deep voices. It sounds like all your kids are in their mid-30s.
Crack it with another beer.
No, I'm sad for myself, but happy for the children.
Don't be sad. Many, many times the vote's gone the wrong way.
I tried so hard.
Man, your song was amazing. I loved Twister, Garth. And thank you so much for being on the show last week. It was great to have you, and I hope we'll see you again.
Never again.
Hey to the Jenningses. How you doing, team? I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And right now, let's play Party Pom Pom for you guys.
My friend Frederick said, come round. I said, yes, we can play a bit of Wii, we can play DS, we can play Super Mario Galaxy 2. But I tell you right now that I'm better than you. I know this is your house where you live with mum and dad. I know you want to win, and that is very sad, cause I got the tricks, bruv, I got the skill. I've been training pretty hard, and I'm ready to kill. I'm a cold-blooded plumber, I'm a nunchuck king. When you begin to lose, I begin to sing. And here is the thing that I sing. Can you feel the thing from the thing that I sing? Would you like to come to a party, pom pom? Would you like to be my guest? It's gonna be a poo poo party, pom pom. A poo poo party's the best. You don't need to bring no presents. There ain't gonna be no cake. Just bring a wee and you better guarantee that you don't make no mistake. Are you gonna come to my party, pom pom? Are you gonna be my guest? It's gonna be a poo poo party, pom pom. A poo poo party's the best. Enjoying all the humiliation. Would you like some more on your daddy's PlayStation? Hold up a second, cause your mommy's coming in. Save the level and wait for the speech to begin.
What you doing inside?
Why you got the seat inside? Playing on the scene. Staring at the plumber on a flickering screen.
That's not real life, that's just nonsense. No wonder all the children now are
it up or do anyhow. We're learning all about plumbers. We're learning all about stars. We're rescuing a princess in distress using physical and mental powers. Come along and join in the party. Pom pom, give all your worries a rest. It's gonna be a poo poo party. Pom pom, a poo poo party's the best. Are you gonna come to the party? Pom pom, did you get a special invitation? It's gonna be a poo poo party. Pom pom, we're celebrating your annihilation.
So earlier this week, I wanted to share this with you, Joe. I put my foot down.
Oh.
And this is not something I do that often. I don't like to put my foot
conversationally
down. Well, I'll tell you what happened. I was getting a new satellite broadband service installed because we're out in M Nowhere and we can't get no decent signal. I've been struggling with like 1 meg of broadband thing. It takes me a while.
This is very interesting to me because I've got to do this.
Yeah.
I haven't upgraded for years.
Well, the government...
I'm paying £100 for a third of a meg.
A third of a meg?
No, I'm lying, but it feels that way.
That's more or less what I'm doing. I think the government's just invested or allocated some money for East Anglia to actually ramp up the broadband service there because it has been lagging a little bit. Anyway, I'm not affected by that at the moment because I'm not covered by any flipping service as far as I can tell, so I'm getting some satellite action. But the installation was booked for last Friday morning, and I was due to come up to London in the afternoon. And it was all like being specially arranged. I talked to the guy on the phone. Okay, is this going to be fine? Yes, I'll definitely be there. He's going to be there early, about 7 a.m. Yeah, great. And so I said, listen, let me give you two numbers just in case there's any problems. I gave him my mobile number and I said, and this is the house number if I don't answer the mobile phone, right? Because I'm going to be in bed at that time.
What could be more straightforward and simple?
What could be more straightforward? So Friday morning comes around. My wife says, hey, I think I heard a car arriving there. That might be your guy. And it's, you know, 7 a.m. I'm still in bed thinking, oh, I really don't want to get up. But anyway, I sort of got up. I slightly took my time thinking, well, he can unpack his tools or whatever. By the time I got out there, no one is there. And it was only about 20 minutes later or something. And
did he ring the bell?
Well, this is the thing. I didn't hear anything. I heard nothing. So I see that there's a missed call on my mobile. No message, just a missed call. So I, assuming that it's the guy, I phone back. And it just goes to voicemail. So I think, well, maybe he's going to get a sandwich or something and he's going to come back. Doesn't turn up. So at, about 3 hours later, I phone again. And this time he answers and says, oh, yeah, I rang the doorbell. There was no one there. I said, what do you mean? I was there. It drives me nuts, that
nuts,
kind of thing.
Nuts.
Absolute nuts.
Nuts. Did you go mentoid?
I tried to stop myself and I was quite calm. And I said, oh, right, okay. Well, can you come back later in the day? No, I can't come back now. I've got other jobs on. All right, then. Well, when's the earliest? Could you come back tomorrow? No, I can't do that.
Infuriated.
So I'm getting really angry now. And I said, well, listen, I'm a bit irritated because I, you know, made a point of giving you two numbers to call. You called the mobile, didn't leave a message. What about calling the house number? I didn't have the house number. Really? Well, why didn't you call the office and get the house? No one at the office.
Furious. You're getting furious.
My blood is boiling.
Foot's raising.
So I was like, why didn't you? I was in the house.
Put your foot down.
He said, well, I rang the bell. What else could I do? And I was like, well, you could call the...
Here it goes. Here we go.
So I didn't get angry. I said, all right, then. All right. Okay. I'm not going to have an argument with you. I'm going to have to call the guy in the office.
Head office.
So I spoke to head office. Had some pretty ropey action from the receptionist there. And after a while, I managed to establish to her, like, why I was calling, why I was annoyed. Finally, the guy responsible calls me back, and he says, oh, yeah, sorry about that. I said, I did give you the two numbers, didn't I? Yeah, I did, yeah. Well, you know, why didn't you pass on the number to the guy? Now, you know, I've missed the appointment. I've been waiting months for this installation. Now it's going to, you know, when's it going to be? When are you going to be able to do it? I just threw my pen down in fury.
It's infuriating.
And he said, yeah, well, not until late next week or something because it's bank holiday Monday. I don't know when we're going to be able to. I was like, you're going to do it Tuesday.
Oh, the foot went down.
Yeah, the foot went down.
The foot went down and declared a day. You ordered a day. You are going to do it.
And by this time, I was absolutely livid.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, no, we can't do it. I said, no, listen to me. You're going to do it Tuesday.
Yes.
All right? I want you to move things around. And I want you to do it on Tuesday, as you promised you would do today. Okay? Because it's your fault. I gave you two numbers.
Did you win? Did they do it?
So he said, okay, sir, yes, I'll do my best. I'll move things around. We'll do it Tuesday for you. I was like, yes, put the phone down. I'm the king!
Yes.
Almost immediately, I felt almost sick with regret for putting my foot down and behaving like a little bit of a toilet because I didn't need it to be installed that quickly. Like, the world's not going to end. I've been waiting months. A few more days isn't going to hurt.
You are a monster.
I'm a monster.
You are a monster.
I'm like a hideous
monster.
Well
done putting your foot down. You are a monster.
What would you have done, though?
Put your foot down. Oh, I stamped on it and killed it.
Is it better
accidentally?
But then if I hadn't said anything, I would have felt like I'm being walked over, like I'm a little spineless worm man.
It's hard to draw the line, isn't it?
What's the better feeling, spineless worm man or monster?
Something in between, spineless worm monster.
Yeah, but the spineless worm monsters don't get any results. They've got no broadband. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everyone walks over them and they've got really bad.
I vote for put the foot down.
Put the foot down.
He should have called the two numbers. Yeah. I think you were well within your rights.
You know what? The thing that made me angry was that I didn't feel he was particularly contrite.
Did you get it done? Or is it this coming Tuesday?
This coming Tuesday.
This coming Tuesday.
So I'm going to meet him, but now I'm worried because
Now you've talked about it on the radio, mate.
Well, I spoke to him again and I said, listen, I really appreciate you moving things around for me. But I'm a little bit worried. I mean, maybe they might.
Well, that's the thing. That's the solution.
Yeah.
You just give them the idea that you're passive-aggressive.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't be trusted.
Okay.
You could fly off the handle at any minute.
Maybe he's going to install, like, a bomb system now.
I don't know.
But I'm going to... Listen, if you're coming to do the installation and you're listening, we're going to have tea, we're going to have cakes, there's going to be a little party pom-pom, and we're going to have a wonderful day.
But don't you dare cross him.
Don't you dare cross me or my foot's going to go right down!
I'm a funny person. I often make up jokes. My jokes are more amusing than those of other folks. When you hear my joke, I think you'll find that you agree. Come on, you're all invited to a made-up joke party.
Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't go on 5 seconds too long.
No, that one's perfect, I think.
It goes on about 15 seconds too long.
You see, what's happened, Joe, is that while you were away, myself and Garth took the opportunity to slip in a few made-up jokes where the G6 stuff would normally have been.
Are you trying to paint me as a hater of made-up jokes?
Yeah.
A joke hater.
You absolutely torpedoed made-up jokes in the live program, so I thought we'd slip them into the podcast.
Oh. I was just trying to do a bit of quality control, I suppose.
Sure, that's always a good thing. It means now that it's a shorter segment, and we had some amazing ones last week.
Did you?
Yeah. What did Gary Newman want to be when he was young?
Gary Oldman.
Yes. How did you know that?
Because that's old.
It's not old!
It's ancient.
Look, he's coming back with his scorn bucket and pouring scorn on the Gary Oldman joke.
That is so old. Did you Google search it?
What?
Did you?
But
are you doing basic quality control, Count Buckules?
He promised
due
me
diligence.
It was you.
Should I tell you the truth? Should I tell you the truth?
What?
I read that one on the emails James sent to me.
Thank Christmas. He's just about to have apoplexy. Here's a few more that I don't think need any Google searching. This is from Jeremy Wormsley. He's a musician man who listens to the show. Which American company made the small chocolate peanut butter piece most enjoyed by the star of Barely Legal? And with which eating utensil does she choose to consume them?
Reese's Pieces with a spoon.
Yeah, pretty much. Just Reese with a spoon.
Oh, that's good.
That's good, isn't
it? That's good.
Very nice work there, Jeremy Wormsley. You see, he's talented in double areas. He's talented in the singing and jokal area. Well done. Here's one from Cheesecake Bobby.
Oh, Cheesecake Bobby.
He's got four kisses for all of us, so there's an extra kiss if anyone wants one.
Is that like Greyfriars Bobby?
Exactly. Exactly like Greyfriars Bobby.
Do you know what Greyfriars Bobby is?
They're cops, aren't they?
That's a little dog.
It's
a little dog that waited for its owner even after he died. There's a little statue of him. So this is the Cheesecake Bobby.
No, I think they're cops.
No, you're right. I see that. I see where you'd make that mistake.
I think you'll find they're cops. Cheesecake Bobby. He's a little piece of cheesecake that waited for his master after his master didn't want any
Nobody's
cheesecake.
Nobody's going to eat me.
There's that piece of cheesecake still there. It's completely rotten and old. Oh, that's Cheesecake Bobby. He's been waiting for some...
There's a statue of Cheesecake Bobby in the town where he lives.
He's covered in mould and no one goes near it. Cheesecake Bobby has this amazing joke. I did trigonometry on the beach because I wanted to be a tanned gent. Unfortunately, I stayed too long and got sign-burnt. Tangent.
That's good. That's a made-up joke.
Yeah.
That is a made-up joke.
Thank the Lord.
Well
we found
done.
One that isn't being subjected to the scorn bucket. And you see, that's it. That's it for made-up jokes this week.
That's so good. It's pointed. Yeah. It's precise. It's excellent.
It's a masterpiece of concision.
It's clean. It's clear. It's under control.
Right, let's get back on with the podcast. Yeah. And sorry to everyone if they missed the G6 thing, but...
Happened there? Did we run out of rhymes?
Yeah, well, no.
People are still sending them in?
People were still sending them in, but I just...
So what's the problem, mate?
Because I saw someone at a gig. I met someone at a gig, and they were saying, what's happening with G6? And I was like, oh, I've been tearing my hair out. I have to read them all, and it blows my mind, and I always forget to do it. It's last thing on a Friday night, and I have to do the flipping G6. And so the person I was speaking to at this gig said, well, just kill it then. I was like,
who is this person?
He was someone who listened to the show. And I was like, wow, you're right. I can just kill it, can't I? Just like they did with little Boggins. They killed Boggins.
We didn't kill Boggins. We gave Boggins away.
Know, Boggins is fine. But I thought...
He was here the other flipping day. I mean, we didn't see him, but I smell him.
I saw him this week.
Did you?
Yeah.
Where?
He says he wants to come to Glastonbury.
What? Where did you see him?
He was in the house. He's crept into
in
the
your
house.
Yeah,
he's
come to your house.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's creeping around there and smelling him. He left a little note with a pop
on it. Left a note?
Yeah, it was written.
He can write. It was stuck to the wall with a pop.
It was stuck to the wall with a pop.
Brown
and
tack.
And the message was written in pop as well.
Wow. A stinky message.
It was foul.
A stinky missive. A messy missive.
It was absolutely foul. Anyway, so I'm sorry.
Glastonbury.
Yeah,
he's going to come to Glastonbury.
He's coming, yeah, he's coming. There's no stopping him.
There's high security there. There's fences.
He's on the...
He'll never get into the BBC compound.
He's on the pyramid stage. The pyramid stage. Okay, come on, let's get back on with the podcast. Here we go!
I like to change the lyrics of songs from time to time.
Lock the taskbar.
To make them refer to things I do. I call it appropriation, and as far as I'm aware, it isn't a crime. I wonder if it's something you do too.
Yes it is, yes it is, yes it is.
It's a fun thing to do, everyone does it, you know, you just customize a little bit of music for what you happen to be doing. I'll give you an example right now if you want. Okay, here's one from Katie. She's a lady from London town. Howdy, ad dum 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 and Cornwall. My friends and I have been doing this one for many years. I'd actually forgotten it wasn't quite normal. Whenever we ladies wear a bag with a long strap that goes across the chest, we sing to the tune of Sade's Smooth Operator. Boob separator. Boob, a separator. Love podcast.
That's good, Katie. That's good, that's good.
I like it when ladies do that with their bags.
Yeah, I was just thinking how the lyrics could continue on.
Cross the chest and move the boobies, western boob.
yeah.
Is that how you were thinking?
Yeah, I was. Mine was worse than that. Oh. Mine was less broadcastable. here's one from Linda and James in Whoa, King! That's how they've spelt it, W-O-A-H, King.
That's a better way of spelling it.
Hello, Dr. Butox and Master Scorn. My partner and I, for years, when warning each other about the danger of stepping on an upturned plug, have sung to the tune of Uptown Girl by Billy Joel as follows. Upturn plug, you'll be standing on an upturn plug.
I would say it's going to hurt
your feet, because the prongs will dig into it. The upturn plug, and when you're, you know.
Oh, oh,
oh. That was at number one for so long, that song.
It really
Do
was.
Do you remember?
My mum loved that. I bought Christmas that single
day.
For my mum. She absolutely loved
the
it.
The whoa, oh, oh, oh bit is particularly useful for expressing your pain when you actually do stand on an upturned plug.
It was one
Thank
of the
you,
most
bye.
Painful injuries that you can have, a domestic injury. The upturned plug is a killer.
It is a killer, and some amazing person's designed a new plug. I saw it on the internet. It was an amazing, innovative design.
What, like bendy prongs or something?
I'll have to look into it next week, but it was amazing. And no one's picked it up. Shocking.
Here's one from Lisa. She's a female woman in Wells, Somerset, home of Hot Fuzz, of course. Dear Adam and Joe, I can never do any gardening or even look at secateurs without singing, secateurs. Secateurs. Secateurs, let me rock you, secateurs. Let me rock you, that's all I want to do. Secateurs, let me rock you, secateurs. Let me rock you because I feel for you. To the tune of Chaka Khan. Yeah, I feel for you by Chaka Khan.
Very good indeed. Here's one from Tom J, who says, Hi, Adam and Joe. Whenever I'm confronted with a certain coffee-based dessert, I sing to the tune of I Miss You by Everything But the Girl. tiramisu. It's a dessert mystery. Yes, I put a lot of work into that.
That's a good one.
Was it worth it?
Yeah, absolutely. Upturn plug. I've been standing on an upturn plug. Right now, here's one final one. This is from Maggie. Hello, Adam and Joe Fess. What's that? Joe Fess?
It's all right.
Yeah, all right then.
It's all right.
I used to work in a restaurant, and when someone ordered a steak, I would find myself singing to the tune of Street Life by Randy Crawford. Steak knife! Well, it's the only life I know. Steak knife! Oh, there's none other in the draw. Steak knife! It's gonna cut your steak so nice. Steak knife! Go and have another steaky slice.
I go to the cutlery draw.
Steak knife!
Cutley. Oh, I'm very jet lagged. I think I'm crashing.
Darling, can we have some cutley?
Little cutie cutie cutley.
I need a spoon for the cutley. Like a cutley spoon.
Is that it for pop appropriation?
That's it for pop appropriation this week.
That was very good.
Keep those coming in. I do like a bit of pop appropriation.
The email is adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk.
Here's a message from Neil in Hurstpier Point. He says, Dear Dr. Buckles, Dr. Sexy, you'll be glad to know much fun and frivolities were had on the hashtag Taffin Twitter tag tonight. He's talking about last Sunday. He says, a whole new audience for what is clearly an underappreciated 80s classic has been born. Well done. Keep up the good work.
So what an exciting coincidence. We've been talking about this film, Taffin, starring Pierce Brosnahan.
It was various members of the Dutch Elm Conservatoire comedy group.
Right.
I don't know.
Who picked up on that clip.
Yeah, and pointed it my way.
But then it happened to be shown on the BBC, which was very exciting. And I think a lot of listeners to this show had a kind of group view and communicated with each other.
We encouraged people to lean out of the window.
did you? Like, network style.
Exactly. And shout, well, maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Did we get any reports of that happening?
Yeah.
A few.
From angry neighbours.
Well, we had various bits of correspondence about Taffin. Do you want to start this, Adam, or shall I start this?
No, you
this?
Go
I'll
ahead.
Start this. Okay, we had a very nice anonymous email from a lady who works in a film archive. Dear Doctors Sexy and Buckles, last week I came across an absolute treasure, the original screenplay from the classic movie Taffin. Was Bronholm's performance ludicrously over the top, or just as the director intended? I believe the attached scan settles the matter. And so she sends a page from the original screenplay of Taffin. And blah, 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 here's the scene. Taffin says, what goes on in this town is none of your business. Charlotte says, as long as I'm living here, it is. And then Taffin replies with his classic line that goes a little like this.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
And now it says in the screenplay after that line, and this is a stage direction, there's a horrible silence. Taffin didn't mean to go that far, but he's too angry to take it back. So that's brilliant. Bronholm's interpreting the stage directions very successfully. He went too far.
Yeah. But the stage direction doesn't say Taffin didn't mean to go ludicrously too far.
No, much too far. I mean, Bronholm takes things too far, you know, further than other actors do anyway. That's part of his magic.
Sure, he pushes into all kinds of envelopes.
He's pushing the boat all the way out over the horizon.
Well, people have also been sending in links to their favourite bits of movie dialogue, so we can broaden this.
From movies that aren't Taffin?
From movies that aren't Taffin.
What?
Apparently, there are other well-delivered lines in other films apart from Bronholm-based films. It seems unbelievable, but there it is. Here's a message from Jackson 5000. Jackson 5000! He's a male computer man. And he says, hello there, chaps.
What does that mean? He owns a computer?
No, I think he's a robot.
He's a robot. Okay. He's a sort of spam bot.
Il est un robot. Great as the Taffin clip is, says Jackson 5000, I think I may have found a better one, taken from the film Trolls 2, or as the Americans would have it, Trolls 2.
Mm.
Admittedly, it has a fair few hits on this YouTube
This
clip.
Is very famous.
So I can't take the real credit for discovering it, but I'm sure you'll enjoy it if you haven't heard it before. I hadn't heard it before. I haven't seen Trolls 2.
Oh, it's extraordinary. I mean, there's a whole thing about Troll 2. But yeah, play the clip.
Well, this is from the film Troll 2, 1990, directed by Claudio Fragasso. And here is a chap who is commenting on the fact that the trolls in question are eating a like the remains of a woman, but it's just green sludge in the actual clip. And this guy is watching, and this is what he says.
They're eating her. And then they're going to eat me. Oh, my God!
That is a good extended,
that's good.
Oh, my
I mean,
God.
You've opened a tin of worms. I mean, yeah. Troll 2 is an amazing thing.
Do people have big Troll 2 parties?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
there's a terrific documentary called Best Worst Movie that I don't think is available in the UK, but if you're into that kind of thing, you can order it. It's really good, and it's made by the guy that was a child actor in it, who's now an adult and is trying to figure out what the hell happened to him as a kid. And It's a brilliant documentary. He goes and reunites the cast, and he brings the director back. And
What's the documentary called?
It's called Best Worst Movie. I really, really recommend it. And he's a really good guy, the guy that made it. I annoyingly forget his name, but he's grown up
maybe
into a really clever chap.
Maybe someone can email in and tell us. That sounds great. I'll check it out. Here's another clip, though, that a few people told us about. And I'm so sorry that I can't read out your name because there's been a snafu in my filing. But it's from the film Tough Guys Don't Dance from 1987. Have you seen that?
Rings a bell.
Ryan O'Neill and Isabella Rossellini, directed by Norman Mailer.
Nice.
Here's a little synopsis from IMDb. Writer, ex-con and 40-something bottle baby Tim Madden, who is prone to blackouts, awakens from a two-week bender to discover a pool of blood in his car, a blonde woman's severed head in his marijuana stash, and the new Provincetown police chief, Captain Luther Regency, shacked up with his former girlfriend Madeline.
Whoa.
You got to see that film, surely. Tough Guys Don't Dance. And here is Ryan O'Neill on a beach reading out a letter from Isabella Rossellini's character. So the first character you hear is Rossellini delivering some shocking news, and then you hear Ryan O'Neill's reaction to the shocking news.
My husband is having an affair with your wife. I don't think we should talk about it. Kill them.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, God, oh, man, oh, God, oh, man, oh, God.
Yeah, wow.
Good effort, O'Neill.
That's a good effort.
And the camera's spinning round him while he's saying it
on
the
beach.
I
bet it is. I bet it is.
Oh, man, oh, God, oh, man, oh, God. Because Norman Mailer surely is thinking, like, this is good. Obviously, I don't want you to do it too naturalistically, Ryan, because I'm trying to get the audience to think about the nature of man and God as you're saying it. So it's like a colloquialism to say man, but then suddenly they'll be thinking about man and God if you say it like that.
Do we know the tone of the film? Can we be? Are we sure it's not a comedy?
IMDb lists it as a black comedy, but it's not supposed to be. I think it's supposed to be serious.
Do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's a comedy. I mean, I'm happy
quite
to be...
Quite a successful writer, Norman Mailer.
Yeah.
Do you think he'd make a boo-boo of that size?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Ryan O'Neill, quite a well-known actor.
And it's, you reckon that scene was played for laughs?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't
someone
know.
More
I mean,
knowledgeable...
The music as well. Everything's really going for it, though,
yeah,
isn't it? I don't know.
I don't think it's like an airplane... That wasn't Norman Mailer's thing, was it? To do, like, goofy knockabout films like that?
I don't know. Is that a good contribution to the conversation?
I'm going
to
find out. I ordered it from Amazon.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. So
wow.
I'm going to watch it this weekend. I'll report back to you next weekend.
So the subject of Text the Nation this week, listeners, is time murder. Ridiculous things you do just to kill time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So here's one from Dylan McMillan. Would a Dylan McMillan be a lady or a man? Spelt D-Y-L-A-N, a man.
I would say a man. That's a great name.
Dylan McMillan.
Dylan McMillan, the sexy, sexy man. He's coming to your town. He's got a sexy plan. Dylan McMillan.
Sounds slightly upsetting. You should call the police. I can't normally afford to waste time because my life is busy, busy, busy. But I was at a loose end recently, so I did an internet search for hiring a Lionel Richie lookalike. I don't think I'd ever have an occasion in my life to need the services of a Lionel alike, and I wasn't too impressed with them anyway. What a waste of 10 minutes.
What?
Love the show, Dylan McMillan.
Not Lionel Richie, but a lookalike.
Yep. This is from Leia Lee.
Princess Lee.
East from East London. Yesterday afternoon, I used Google Earth to examine the route taken by James Bond in the Thames River chase at the start of The World Is Not Enough to see if it was realistic that he could have driven his speedboat overland through the Docklands to cut off the bad guys at the Millennium Dome. It was hit and miss. I wouldn't have risked it. Leia, East London. That is a waste of time. Well done. Very good. Kevin, who's a man, emails the following. As you introduce this week's Text the Nation, I just finished my most compulsive time drain, mindlessly clicking on BBC News website stories without even reading them. Then I moved on to my second, editing the personal dictionary on my phone to remove misspelled words and editing words which have a capital letter yet aren't proper nouns.
Oh, man, I do that as well. When things get reformatted somehow, when you import them into a Word document or whatever from an email.
That can be a lot of fun.
I have to go through, I have to make sure, like as I go along, I can't bear to see all the different types of fonts on there. I have to go through, select all, make sure they're all in the right font, right size.
Very important. Here's one from Kate Bird, Jess. Katie B. from Guildford. Hi, team. I sometimes time waste by taking down all my books, then reordering them into order of preference, then subcategorizing them alphabetically. So that's not just color-coded. It's not alphabetical. It's not by publisher or by spine color. Order of preference.
That would be good if you had like a subjective library. The books are all organized by goodness.
That's what she's got.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tough. It's hard enough when someone asks you what your favourite film is or something, but to categorise everything you own in order of relative quality.
I organise my books by filth.
Do you?
The ones with the longest filth pathogeth.
Here's one from Ali in Glasgow. Hi, Adam and Joe. When I've run out of tweets to read on my main timeline, I go back and read my own, sometimes scrolling back as far as 6 or 7 months. I'm not proud of this, and I'm not claiming they're particularly rereadable, but I get entranced by the smooth scrolling motion on my smartphone, and I just can't stop. Give me more, baby.
Sometimes I just sit there and I click update on my YouTube channel to see if anyone else has left me comments. I might do it for about 10 minutes. Click. No one has.
Here's a good one from Lorne in Birmingham. This is the climax to the segment because this is just crazy. I murder time by setting virtual tasks for myself, for instance, boiling an egg. I don't actually boil an egg, but instead I just go through the process of boiling an egg in my mind in real time while watching the clock for accurate timing.
What the
Lawn,
heck?
Birmingham.
Who is that?
I mean, why not boil a tasty egg? You're doing everything but the egg. And you're missing out on a delicious egg.
Flipping heck, Tucker. You are the winner of the nuttiest person in the world competition. Who was that? What was the name of the person?
Lawn.
Lawn.
I think Lawn is beautiful and special and unique.
Certainly special.
That's it for the podcast fun. Next week there'll be another one. It's normal to feel sad, not odd, because it's the end of the podcast. Except for this bit.
That's it for the podcast, folks. Thanks very much for listening. We say this every now and again, but it bears repeating. We really appreciate all your emails and texts and everything. Without you, this show would be even more of a ridiculous pile of dog muck than it is.
And next week, of course, we'll have a brand new show with all new segments. Brand new segments, brand new jingles, brand new Adam and Joe for the new times.
Who's going to be playing you?
I will be played, and this is very, 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 very exciting. Mm-hmm. I will be played by that guy from The Hangover.
Right.
I don't remember his name, but Bradley is his name.
Yeah.
And he is going to be me, because he's a bit less handsome than me, but he's good. He does a good me. Bradley Cooper's his name.
Right.
He was in The Hangover and Limitless, and he will be playing me, which is very exciting for him.
Funnily enough, I'm being played by Zach Galifianakis.
Really?
Yeah. With a wig on, because he shaved his head, obviously, for The Hangover.
Say his name again.
Zach Galifianakis.
Have you worked on that?
Yeah.
Do you know how I say it?
How?
Zach Galifianakis. That's not how it should be said.
Yeah.
But there's another example of a word that I haven't bothered to read properly. I've just skim read it.
I look at him
say
and
say it
I,
again.
Zach Galifianakis.
Galifianakis.
Yeah. I think I'm right.
You thoroughly looked at that name said it out loud a few times and practiced it.
Can't we Google it or something?
I say Galifianakis.
Yeah. There's a fear in there. Fear. And it starts with a gal. That's the way to remember it. Like a gal. Woman, gal.
I watched his stand-up, his live stand-up video.
It's supposed to be good,
isn't
it?
Have you seen that? Yeah, it was quite good.
Mm.
He has a sort of breakdown during it.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't tell whether it's actually supposed to be funny or whether he's really having a breakdown.
Sometimes I get envious of him because I think, oh, damn it.
That could have been you.
That could have been me.
Could have
like
been Bucky Lee's.
Little porky guy with a big beard and not that much acting skills, but he's got more acting skills than Buckles does probably. So.
You just haven't had a chance to strut your stuff yet.
Yeah, thanks to you.
I just need the... I'm building up to it, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I am building up to it. I'm going to launch Bucky Lees out of a cannon into the world's face at 1,000 miles an hour when the time comes.
All right, good. Thanks, folks. Really appreciate your listening. Hope you have a great week, and we'll be back with you next week at the same time.
Thanks for listening.
I love you. Bye!
Bye-bye.
BBC Six Music Podcasts.
If you liked Adam and Joe, why not try Jarvis Cocker's Six Music Show, Sundays from 4.
Six Music. Six Music.
Adam and Joe on Six Music.